Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today. I hope you're going to enjoy this episode. I don't really have any announcements. Again, I'm working. Every time I record this, I'm still working on my schedule as far as what we're going to be offering online this year. Bear with me. I promise I'll have you something soon. If you want to know what is happening, the best way is to follow us on social media, sign up for our newsletter that goes out weekly, goes out on Wednesdays, and it's provided plenty of information on what we have going on, plus information that you need to know as a pet guardian for your dog and helping your dog have the best life possible. So today's episode is going to stay on the theme of what I'm really passionate about. And I'm passionate about it because, well, I've dealt with it. People in my life have dealt with it. And honestly, I feel like everyone is dealing with some form of this right now in our world, not just in my country, but in our world. And that is a dysregulated nervous system. If you've listened to me enough, you know how important this topic is for me, because a dysregulated nervous system will throw a wrench into everything you have going on in life. So if your nervous system is dysregulated, you're going to suffer with anxiety, nervousness, response to things that maybe the reaction or response is bigger than what the situation really required. I know for me personally, when I'm on edge and I feel my nervous system dysregulated, I go from enjoying my cat rubbing on my legs to not being able to stand it, because that touch is just, it's just too much. And that's a really big sign for me that my nervous system is a little bit on edge. Even if I don't think it is, I know that my body is responding in a way that is communicating that my nervous system is dysregulated. And so when we talk about a dysregulated nervous system, there are a lot of things that we can do for it. If we're talking human, we're talking about learning how to have coping mechanisms, how to be in the moment and using relaxation techniques, getting to the underlying issue of a dysregulated nervous system, whether that is nutritional, whether that is getting rid of things in your life that are causing issue, like jobs, people, things. If you have a cluttered house, that can dysregulate your nervous system. I know that whenever I open my closet and I look at the clothes, and it's not even that much, but I know it's too much, I know that my system is dysregulated. When things are overwhelming to me, when I think about what I have to get done, and if it's overwhelming, then I know my nervous system is dysregulated. For your dog, this is going to look a little different. They can't necessarily tell you. They can't walk up and say, "Hey, Mom, Dad, I'm really feeling really dysregulated. You know, can you help me out?" They're not going to do that to you. However, they do communicate to you when their system is dysregulated. And this is going to look like something that is usually annoying to you. And it's typically coming out of reactivity, whether it's reactivity on a leash, reactivity in the backyard, reactivity at the front door or the front window. If your dog is barking at every little thing, if your dog is not enjoying the things he used to enjoy, if your dog is having a hard time getting aroused and then coming down back to a normal baseline, then your dog is communicating that they have a dysregulated nervous system. right? When they bark and freak out about the dump truck that is two streets over, but they can hear it and they lose their shit like it's in their front yard. Yeah, probably have a dysregulated nervous system. Now, the cause of the dysregulated nervous system, I'm not getting into that today. I've had episodes on that. I will be talking about that more in the future. But the reason right now is not important. What is important is understanding how we can help our dogs when they are feeling dysregulated. And you may find some things in here for yourself when we talk about dysregulation and how to regulate the nervous system. Please know that a dysregulated nervous system is not a choice, right? Nobody wakes up and says, you know what? I think I'm going to have a dysregulated nervous system today. That's not how it works. A lot of times, dysregulated nervous systems will happen over time where stress just continues to pile on. And that's where we start to really have issues, right? Where our gut may start having issues with digestion. We may start having stomach issues. We may get sick. And your dog is the same way, right? They may start having loose stool. Maybe they're not eating as well. They don't enjoy the foods that they were enjoying. They're not as interested in learning, right? So when you have a dysregulated nervous system, it can come on and create gut issues, but also gut issues can create a dysregulated nervous system. So pain and sensitivities, intolerances, whether it's environmental or food, when you don't feel good, your system is going to dysregulate. And I do believe that, honestly, especially in my country, we are not that healthy. We're just not that healthy here. As humans, we're not healthy. We have a very high percentage of obesity in our country. We have a lot of processed food, a lot of crappy food, junky food. And when I see obesity with humans, I often see obesity with dogs in the same household. And this is not an episode about obesity, but I want people to understand that when you're not healthy and you don't feel good over time, your baselines change and your nervous system is going to be affected. If we don't have the good gut bacteria, if we don't have good microbiomes, if we don't have good pathways that are leading from our gut to our brainstem or to our brain, if our vagus nerve is having some detours because of our health, it's going to affect everything. And I believe that so many people don't know what it feels like to feel good. And that's sad. It's sad if you don't know what it feels like to feel good. Because feeling good is something everyone should reach for. I think if we feel good physically, we're going to have a greater chance to regulate our nervous system and keep it regulated. And when we have a dysregulation occur, we're going to be able to get back to baseline faster. So feeling good is important, and feeling good starts with gut. Healthy food, right? Less sugar, less caffeine. Eating the right things that are for your system and your body. And if you don't know what those systems are, if you're constantly feeling bad, the 5-strand sensitivity test that I recommend to my clients for their dogs, because it's so important to know if we're feeding the right thing. I encourage my human friends and my human clients, if they need it, to do the 5-strand test for themselves. I have done a sensitivity and tolerance test, and it was the best thing that I did because it made me realize that I was eating foods that I loved that are on the health end of things. They're healthy. They were not good for my system. And it was creating bloat. It was creating frustration in my system. I was aggravated. I was working out regularly, but I wasn't getting the results I wanted. And so I did the 5-strand test, and it made a huge difference. And now when I don't feel good, I can look at what I put into my body and realize that, okay, I've overdone the foods that create sensitivity. I have now kind of stacked those on top of each other, and now I know why I'm feeling unmotivated. I know why I'm feeling tired, why I'm not sleeping as well, when I'm, you know, I'm not working out as hard. I know these things because of what I've ingested. So on the same, you know, level of food we're looking at with our dogs, we have to know that if our dogs are looking lethargic, if they're not excited to do new things, if they are not excited about their food, if they are not eating on a regular basis, if your dog is labeled as a grazer, they're telling you very clearly that they don't feel good, that there's something in the food, there's something that's going into their system that does not feel good. And you have to understand that there are dogs out there that have sensitivities to cotton. And so if your dog has sensitivities to cotton, but yet they lay on a cotton bed, there you go. I think it's important that we really dig deep and know what is going on in our dog's system to help with those external behaviors that tend to be aggravating, frustrating, or those behaviors that people call us about. I get calls every day for reactivity. And whether that's reactivity in the home, towards guests, towards strangers, on a leash, in the backyard, reactivity is huge. And it all is going to come down to a dysregulated nervous system. Not to say that regulating the nervous system fixes everything, but that's where you have to start, right? You can't put new tires on a car and a new paint job on a car if the engine doesn't work. I mean, you can. You're just not going to get the results you're looking for. Right? We got to look at the engine, right? As long as the engine is working well, then everything externally can slowly be changed, right? If the bare bones of my house are falling apart, then me painting my kitchen isn't going to do a damn bit of good. But if my foundation is good and everything's solid, then putting a new, you know, paint job in my kitchen is going to enhance the space and enhance the house, but it wouldn't do so if the bones weren't good. And I use that example because we just painted our kitchen. As Britt calls it, it's a grown-up color. And it's actually really pretty. But I digress. So we do want to make sure we start on the inside for a dysregulated nervous system. But I want to give you something else to use that's external that you can possibly use to help your dog with a dysregulated nervous system. I'm going to be talking about touch today. A purposeful massage, purposeful touch to help a dog with regulation. I want to go back to a human for a minute, and that is love language. And I want to talk about love language just for a second. It's going to come back together. Now, for love language, there are people that have their love language is words of affirmation, meaning that when, you know, for them to feel loved, they need people to tell them positive things about them, right? Words of affirmation. For people who are gift-giving is their love language, meaning that they enjoy gifts. They like for people to give them gifts. That's how they see that they're being loved, is by gifts. Quality time is one. Just spend time with me, right? Just spend time with me. And that will show me that you love me. But another one is touch. And touch is my main love language. If you want to show me that you love me, I'm going to need touch. Now that touch could be holding my hand. It could be rubbing my feet because they're sore. It could be giving me a back rub when I didn't ask. Maybe you send me to get a massage. Give me a gift certificate for a massage. Touch is a huge thing for me. And it's funny that touch is so big for me, but when my system is dysregulated, the cat rubbing on my legs is not soothing for me. However, if Britt, you know, comes over and just holds my hand or hugs me, yeah, I'm going to immediately start to regulate. My heart rate's going to decrease. My system is going to start to calm. Now, if a stranger came up and hugged me, it may not do, it may not be the same result. I can't guarantee that because honestly, sometimes a hug from a stranger is not the worst thing, because to me, it really does show that admiration, that love, that desire to want to bring peace to someone. And I kind of think for me, that's what a hug represents. But touch is important. There are some dogs who see touch as their love language. I've met dogs who love gifts, new toys all the time. I'm sure a lot of you are saying, well, shit, my dog's love language is food. I guess that could be a gift giving. Quality time, right? These are words of affirmation. These are all things that dogs can grab onto and enjoy. Now, your dog may enjoy touch when they're feeling regulated. They may not enjoy it when they're dysregulated. And so what we're going to talk about today is probably not going to be a blanket statement for all dogs that have a dysregulated nervous system. You have to look at your dog as an individual and see, does my dog actually enjoy this? Before we move on with touch and using that, and just know that you can use touch for many different reasons, but I do want to say that we have to be respectful of our dog's autonomy and be respectful in that if they don't want to be petted, if they don't want to be touched, we have to respect that. So many times I've heard, well, I should be able to pet my dog when I want to. And honestly, guys, that's a creepy fucking statement. For fuck's sake, to walk around and say, I should be able to pet my dog when I want, what is wrong with you? That's not appropriate. A dog is an individual. They are an individual being with their own thoughts, their own minds, their own desires, their own fears, their own likes and dislikes. We don't have a right to touch anything or anybody that's living without permission. And we need to learn how to get permission from our dogs. We need to learn how to read our dog's body language to when they're enjoying something versus when they would like for us to stop. Reading that body language is super important. Again, everything I talk about comes back to communication and body language, right? If you can't read your dog's body language as saying, I don't want to be touched right now, in the subtle way they tell you, then they're not going to have a choice but to escalate. This is why you see people that go, well, my dog bit me for no reason. No, there's always a reason, and you probably caused it. And so one thing you're looking at is, if I'm petting my dog, if I go to pet my dog and she's just laying there and I go pet her, if she doesn't engage with me, whether that's with eyes, movement, then she's probably not really interested. And if I'm not sure, I'll pet for a few seconds and then I'll stop. And that allows her to make a decision. And at that point, if she just lays there, then I know that she's not in the mood. If she looks at me like, why'd you stop? Or she adjusts herself, I know that she wants me to continue petting her. Now, if I'm petting her in the wrong space, she'll also adjust to that and show me where she likes to be petted. She likes to take her paw and pull my hand to her chest. She likes her chest rubbed. When she wants her belly rubbed, she lays over, she spreads open eagle, and she likes that. So she really does communicate to me what she likes and what she dislikes. If you're petting on your dog and they are ignoring you, wishing the hell you'd go away, but you're not getting it, then they have a couple of options. They can get up and walk away, which most don't do that. But if they feel like, if I walk away, you're just going to follow me. And this happens a lot with children, where a dog will walk away from a child, but the child keeps following the dog. That's disrespectful. The dog is walking away from you. Let them go. They're saying they are done with you. They don't want you around right now. They don't want to be touched. They don't want to be talked to. Leave them alone. But if you continue pressing them, they have no choice but to level up and use a growl or a snarl to communicate to you. It's no different than you raising your voice because someone didn't listen to you when you asked them to leave you alone. And then again, if you continue pushing it, that's where we start getting into our snaps and our bites. And that's why bites happen, because humans are disrespectful of dog signals, which in turn creates a situation for the dog where they don't feel safe. They don't feel safe. They don't feel understood and listened to and respected. And if they don't feel safe in their own home, they cannot have a regulated nervous system. So you want to make sure that your dog feels safe in order to have a regulated nervous system. And it starts with you. It starts with your respect of their autonomy, of their communication style. And it's your responsibility to learn how to read that. If you love your dog, learn how they communicate. Learn how to communicate. We have an online course for that. It's so easy, guys. For $85. And if you're on the newsletter, you've gotten coupon codes for 50% off that. Go get it. Month of February, you even get a free course with it. But I've got it on there because it is so important that you learn how to read your dog's body language. I truly believe that every behavior issue, every problem that a dog and a guardian have starts with a disrespect of communication signals that your dog gives. I would venture easily to say 99%. So, and that's based off experience and dealing with behavior issues for as long as I have. Now, I know I've talked a lot about stress and chronic stress, but just to reiterate, dogs living in chronic stress, the world does not feel safe. And sometimes their home doesn't feel safe. Whether it is an unpredictable environment, you have people that are being disrespectful of signals, whether it is unpredictableness in everyday routines, whatever the case may be, your dog's nervous system is stuck in survival mode. It means they never just relax. They're constantly in fight or flight. And that is a miserable place to be. Some dogs just forget fight or flight and they freeze. Those dogs are hiding. They're just not interested in doing anything. It's really a sad place to be. There are things that we can do through touch to help with the nervous system. This is not the only thing to do. This is just one thing of a million things we talk about on how to help your dog regulate their nervous system. Understanding that they are not choosing to be in that state, that is just where they are, and they are incapable of getting back to a baseline based on the environment, gut health, whatever that may be for them. Touch is something we can use to at least try to decrease that state of arousal. We're going to talk about a couple of different ways of touch. We're going to talk about massage, a version of massage, which is Tellington touch. It's T-touch. It is a version, a little different, but we will break it down just a little bit. And then we're going to talk a little bit about acupressure as well, and give you some ideas of what you can do with your dog on touch. When we are using touch, it needs to be in a quiet environment. It would be good to set up some predictable cues for that. So maybe you put them in the same space. Maybe you turn on a noise machine. Maybe you use a specific odor. Maybe if we're using lavender, they understand the smell of lavender means this massage is coming. The massage helps to decrease the nervousness. Therefore, the lavender creates a positive association and starts communicating to the brain as soon as they smell the lavender before you ever even touch them. So now with that, we're getting a little bit of extra help from the touch. Why is touch so good? The skin's the largest sensory organ in the body. And when when we engage it in slow, predictable, and gentle ways, we stimulate sensory receptors that communicate directly with the brain, and more importantly, with the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve, as we've discussed before on this podcast, and I'm sure I will do an entire episode on the polyvagal theory at some point, the vagus nerve is a crucial component of a dog's nervous system. It influences digestion, heart rate, emotional regulation, and there are various natural techniques that you can use. I'm not going to specifically talk about it today, but just know it's all connected. That might be the easiest, because I'm afraid if I get off on the polyvagal theory and I get off on dealing with the vagus nerve, I'm going to lose what I'm doing here on overall touch for the nervous system. Be sure that before you start this, and once you kind of set up your zone of predictability, right? We have the lavender, maybe we have a noise machine or other relaxing music. We have a certain blanket, whatever we have to communicate to the dog that we are about to do touch or touch work. You can even look at it that way, touch work. Not to be confused with touch, the emergency recall that we teach. You want to make sure that you are also regulated, or at least in a place where you can give a little bit of positive energy towards your dog. I don't want you trying to regulate their nervous system when you're dysregulated. So try to get yourself a little regulated before you start trying to regulate your dog. Remember, your dog's going to feel your nervous system, and nervous systems will talk to each other. So remember, this could be a part of co-regulation. I just don't want you going in there rushing things or feeling frustrated or thinking about something that is not right here, right now. I want you to be right here, right now with your dog when you're doing this. So the key elements for this, predictability. That's not just predictability on the setup of the environment, but also predictability about how you're using your hands. Needs to be slow and consistent movements, not rough petting, not rough play, not ruffling the hair, slow, consistent movements. Have pressure awareness. You're going to be firm, but gentle. And you're going to watch your dog to see how they're feeling. If it's a good pressure, they might lean in or stay neutral. If it's too rough, too firm, too harsh, they're going to try to move away from you. So you always have to play with the pressure to see. And pressure at one point may be different than pressure at another point, depending on how your dog is feeling and where they're holding that stress. Remember consent. The dog can move away at any time. And if they do, you need to stop. And if you're not sure how the dog is feeling, just stop in the middle of it and let your dog give you a response. So watch for those subtle signs of tension. Watch for those subtle signs of your dog's change in behavior, whether they look at you when you hit a spot, almost like, wow, didn't know that you had that magic. You want to keep an eye on your dog and really watch that body language. Now, signs that touch is helping may include things such as softening of the eyes, slower blinking, deeper breathing, maybe a head drop. If they're sitting there up and they're looking at you, they might lower their head, shift that weight, or they may even sigh. All the things that we might do when something is relaxing. These are small but meaningful indicators that your dog is engaging their parasympathetic system, which is the rest and digest. We want to get them out of the sympathetic, which is our fight or flight. So the parasympathetic is where we rest and we digest. And that's where we want our dog to be. Now, we may not get there in one session of this. We're trying to just move our dog slowly into regulation. Before I get into the touches that I want you to start focusing on, let's talk just a little bit about when not to use it, because I think that's important. Touch is not universally calming. Just like we talked about love language with people, sometimes touch is not. I mean, I have friends who are not touchy-feely. They don't like to hug. They're not huggy people. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. So we have to be respectful. Those dogs that may have a history of trauma, touch can be activating. It can be threatening, especially if they've had physical injuries or trauma because of physical injuries. So here are a few things to keep in mind on when not to do it. If the dog is actively in fight or flight, if the dog's barking, lunging, pacing, panting heavily, or is hyper-focused on something, any touch may escalate it, right? Attempting to restrain, hold, or massage them in that moment will escalate the stress and will more than likely make them explode a little bit more. So don't be doing touch unless we are in a safe environment and the dog is feeling calm. While you're touching, if the dog freezes, becomes very still, you need to be aware of that. Non-reactivity doesn't mean comfort. It doesn't always mean relaxation and comfort. A dog who stiffens, stops blinking, maybe they start to get they almost look like a statue. If they are averting their gaze, they may be experiencing a freeze response. So immediately stop and let your dog re-engage on their own, move away, or give you some other type of communication. If your dog does have pain or a possible medical issue that you're not sure about, I would not use massage on those areas. So if your dog is having some pain in their leg, I'm not going to recommend you're using this touch. Now, massage can be used for that, but that is a different type of massage that we're talking about. That is more physical therapy. This is talking about nervous system. So if your dog has an injury, inflammation, infection, I would avoid that until you get a full physical. If the dog has a history of trauma from being handled by humans, then they may not enjoy this. If they've been forced for grooming or restrained for vet care, been punished for trying to escape being held or a collar grab, these often don't want to be handled because they can't trust. They don't know what you're doing. So if you're not sure if your dog's going to like it, just start with very short sessions and let your dog communicate to you how they feel. And that will probably be the best way to go about it. And most of you are already going to know how much your dog likes to be touched. But this, again, this is different than your normal petting and your normal play. Some dogs may get a little nervous about this. Let's start out talking about Tellington T-Touch. It's been around for 40 years or more. And it is something that has been used not just with dogs, but also with horses and other animals. It's my best, probably the easiest way for me to do is just kind of read off of the website of Linda Tellington Jones. She's a PhD. She has a PhD, and she is the one that developed T-Touch. And I'm just going to read a little bit because I think that'll be easier so I don't mess up what it is. I don't use T-Touch very often. I had looked at it about 20 years ago. I started looking at it when I got my certification in doggy massage. I was looking at it, but I never really got as involved in it as I probably will. I will probably start studying it a little bit more. I'm more on the massage aspect and the acupressure, but I think the Tellington touch is absolutely a wonderful thing to use, and it's truly anyone can learn to use it. And there are a lot of resources out there. So what is T-Touch? Tellington T-Touch training is a gentle, respectful method of training that honors the body, mind, and spirit of animals and their people and develops trust between humans and animals. I don't want you to think about the training aspect of it. This is about regulation of nervous system. The Tellington method deepens the relationship with your animals, improves behavior, enhances performance, supports health and well-being, and fosters learning. So even if your dog doesn't have a nervous system dysregulation, T-Touch is still a really good thing that you can do with your dog. The Tellington method for dogs, the approach in the field of canines is widely accepted as a powerful method to improve behavior, enhance performance and health, and teach a dog to learn willingly. It helps establish a deeper rapport and more effective connection and understanding between humans and their animals. The components are body work, called Tellington T-Touch. The circular T-Touches can reduce fear and pain, enhance cellular function and communication, and support the healing potential of the body. There's T-Touch for horses and even T-Touch for humans, but it's the same across the board, right? It's about helping overall health and well-being with relaxation, regulation, safety, trust, and partnership. Let's look at one of their techniques. It's called the Python Lift. Now, the Python Lift is named after Joyce, a gentle 11-foot-long Burmese python suffering from a reoccurring respiratory problem. And she had worked with this python at the San Diego Zoo. The reason the Python Lift was used to relieve and release tension and spasms. She says it is effective on the shoulder, legs, neck, and back of animals, and also feels great on human backs, arms, legs, and shoulders. The Python Lift relaxes nervous animals and improves balance and gait. It also helps to bring your animal into a state of mental and emotional stability. So you would place your hand as a whole on the body or around the leg. It may be easy to start with the leg just to get practice with this if your dog is comfortable with it. You're going to put just enough pressure to gently lift the skin and the muscle, but not the leg. So you're gently going to lift the skin and muscle. You're going to hold it up for a couple of seconds and then slowly return the skin to the starting point. Don't forget that you need to be breathing with this. And don't lift too hard. Don't hold too long. Be very gentle and watch your dog. If they tense or move away, then it might be too much. You can try a different part of the body. So maybe you put your hand on their flank, which is their back leg area up on the hock, and you place your hand there and then just gently lift the skin and muscle for a few seconds there and then replace to see how your dog does with that. The raccoon T-Touch. This T-Touch is named after the tiny, delicate movements of a raccoon washing its food. I love how she uses kind of examples to help you picture it. And that's really cute. The raccoon T-Touch is used for small animals and delicate work. So working the area around wounds to speed up healing and to increase circulation and activate neural impulses in the lower legs. It can also be used to reduce swelling without causing pain. So the way you do that is you would make contact with your dog on the lightest possible pressure. And then you're going to use the tips of the fingers just behind the nails. And you're just going to make circular movements. It's just very simple circular movements. And again, very light pressure so that your dog is not getting stressed out, especially if your dog has had some trauma physically before. I highly recommend before you do any of this is to check out ttouch.com, and she has some really good online workshops. There are professionals that are based around the world that specialize in this, and they're certified in T-Touch. So I recommend that before you start any of that, I'd recommend that you reach out and learn a little bit more because, like I said, I'm pretty limited on what I can teach you on a podcast episode on how to touch and use these with your dog. So look that up and I'll put that in the show notes as well. Let's talk about massage. I certified in doggy massage in early 2000s. And I was doing something that not a lot of people were doing at the time. And I was using it more for behavior and not as much as relaxation. But massage is really good for relieving stress. But this is very different than, say, just rubbing your dog. All right, this is purposeful petting. That's how I like to explain it to people. Massage is purposeful petting. We're not ruffling the hair. We're not getting rough with our pets. We are focusing on muscles, soft tissue to help relieve the tension, improve circulation. Not to mention, it can build that trust and help your dog learn that physical touch can be a positive. Some of the techniques that you can use mostly are going to be long strokes along the back, maybe some gentle ear rubs. There are certain areas that you can hit depending on how your dog is feeling. Let's start with the ears. Once you've created your environment and it's relaxed, it's calm, everybody is ready to go to a place of relaxation, including you, you're going to start with gentle touch. Begin by gently rubbing the base of the ear. Use your thumb and your index finger. Use circular motions. That's going to stimulate the blood flow and relaxation. Pay attention to your dog, right? If they are moving away, it might be too much. If you are rubbing counterclockwise, they may not like it, so try clockwise and vice versa. You have to adjust your technique based on their reaction. So it's a very simple of just rubbing the base of the ear, thumb, and forefinger. Now avoid the inner ear. Don't attempt to massage the inner ear canal, especially if your dog has a history of ear infections, because that could be very uncomfortable, and we don't want to do that. Now, then you can move to the outer ear. So the outer ear, which is just, well, the what you're looking at, right? It's the flap. Use gentle pressure and gradually stroke towards the tip of the ear. So right where it attaches to the head, just use gentle strokes down to the tip. And do this several times. Slow and follow through with it. And try to keep the same pressure from the base all the way to the tip. Watch your dog and make sure that they are feeling comfortable. If they are not, then adjust your technique, or you just may need to move to a different part of the body until the dog is feeling a little bit more relaxed, and then you might can try the ears again. You'll be surprised, though, that most dogs take to the ear massage. You just can't go too hard, and don't be pulling the ear, right? You're not pulling the ear away from the head. You're just taking your fingers and just pulling it gently down in its natural form. Now, if you have dogs have ears standing up, then obviously you'll go from the base to the tip at the top. But again, regardless if they stand up or they flop, you'll want to make sure you start at the base and go to the tip. Try to stay with the same pressure and watch your dog for responses. The neck is a really good place to work at. I think that dogs many times have stiffness in their neck just from the way they play, the way they shake things so hard. So I think that the neck can definitely get a little bit stiff, but be careful, right? There's a lot of nerves in the neck that are running underneath that muscle, but still just be gentle and use those circular motions to start with. So just get on the neck. You can get on either side of the spine and just start rubbing using your thumbs in circular motions and moving up and down the neck. Now, if you're moving up, just be careful not to ruffle all the fur. So you may want to go from the base of the skull down to the back, and then back up to the base of the skull, down to the back, back to the base of skull, instead of going base of skull to the back and then back up to the base of skull. Some dogs don't like feeling their fur moving in the opposite direction. Every dog is going to be an individual for that. Once your dog gets comfortable, you can try some different techniques such as rubbing, kneading, tapping, right? So these are things that you can do. You can even use a warm towel, something that can help relax things. But again, every dog is going to be different on what they're comfortable with. Just try it. And if your dog doesn't like it, do what your dog does enjoy and then try it again in a couple weeks. I focus a lot of areas on my dog as far as neck, shoulders, along the back, and in the hock areas around the tail. So I do a lot of massage in those areas. Those are also the main areas that I work with the acupressure, because acupressure is really very, very good. It can be challenging for humans to use it correctly. There are a lot of pressure points that you can use. They can be challenging to get to. So I'm going to pick a couple that I think will be easier for you to start with and easier to find and start using for that. I like the acupressure a lot, and I use it a lot on mostly Myers, our little 20-pound bullshitter. You know, he's a Shih Tzu Yorkie pit bull, and that's his three mixes. That's his top three mixes. He's mixed with a lot more, but he was spayed very early, so he has some issues with bone growth. And so he has a lot of discomfort, and his body is shaped very oddly, causing issues. So I'd use a lot of acupressure around his back area to help with that. Most of these pressure points, if not all pressure points, are along the meridians, which are believed to be the channels that transmit energy throughout the dog's body. I'm a big believer on the energy and how that energy flows, which is why when you have something like a dog who is struggling with aggressive behavior, we look at potential blockage of energy from things like the liver. So you probably have heard liver chi. We've talked about this on the podcast, and there's so much more that we can talk about and so much more we can cover, because it is so fascinating, and I do think that it's so useful to be such a non-invasive and drug-free therapy that you can use alone or along with other treatments to help your dog be the best version of themselves. So just think that when you are applying those pressure, applying pressure to those points, you can alleviate the blockages in that energy flow without doing something like acupuncture, where the needles are going in to break that energy up. And by alleviating the blockages in the energy flow, we're restoring balance, promoting healing. Your dog is going to feel so much better. As a reminder, you're only going to be using gentle pressure. Don't want to go too much. If you've ever had a pressure point touched, you know that it can send you through the roof. You want to use a thumb or a fingertip. You can use circular motions. You can just push down. A lot of times I'll just push and hold and then release. And I will push with a good amount of pressure watching my dog. And then as I see my dog start to move almost away, then I stop my pressure. And then I just keep it at where it is. So knowing what your dog is comfortable with, and again, they might like pressure, more pressure in one spot than the other. You just have to practice to see what your dog really likes. Let's focus on the acupressure points that most dogs are comfortable with, because there are so many, and they can be difficult to find. There's one that I have been trying to find on Myers, and Dr. North has tried to teach me, and I just struggle. I admit it. I struggle finding it. But let's talk about the ones that are a little bit easier and that most dogs are comfortable with. And we're going to start with the head and face area. So this is called the yin tang point. And it can be thought of as the third eye spot on your pet. It's a single point in the center of your pet's forehead located directly between and slightly above the eyes. You'll massage this area using one or two fingers. And again, you can do circular motions. You can also just press on it. Every dog is going to be a little different. So you can kind of press, maybe adjust your pressure first, see how your dog does, and then you can start your circular movements to see how they do with that. The yang tang points are the points. This is different. They're located on either side of the eyes where the skull indents a bit. Think of it as your dog's temples. The same place that you might massage yourself if you had a headache, that's where you're going to be massaging your dog. So apply pressure to that area. You'll stretch your hand over your pet's forehead and massage one side of the face with your thumb and the other side with one of your other fingers. All right, so that way you've got your hands on both, you're holding the head still, and you've got on both sides. Those points are associated with overall well-being, calm, focus, and pain reduction. Don't forget that, because we do know that a lot of dogs are in pain that are not telling us that they're in pain. And so we have to sometimes be aware of that. So those are easy things that you can do with starting to massage your dog's head and face to help with that. We talked about the ears already. Again, these are usually, the ears are typically a place that dogs are okay with. So just keep an eye on that when you're massaging those. But let's go to the front legs. I think that many people don't think about rubbing their dog's legs. I've already mentioned how much Willow loves having her legs scratched. Not just rubbed and massaged, but she really likes them scratched. It's funny because when I was a kid growing up, anytime that I needed to be soothed, I would, or if I was like spending the night with one of my cousins, we would take turns scratching each other's arms or scratching each other's backs. It was part of bonding, but also part of relaxation, especially when I was away from home and was missing my parents or something like that. So it was always something really, really positive. So for dogs, they may not like it, but once you do it a few times, you may find that they're enjoying it. One of the places is a point that's located in the armpit of your pet. It's where the front leg meets the inside of your pet's body. Now, you can massage this area using a back and forth or a circular motion. There are many areas on those legs that go below that, and it's mostly going to be inside of your pet's wrist. If they're having any type of arthritis issue, this can also be really good. So you can grab your dog's entire wrist area with your fingers and thumb and massage. You're going to focus on the inside and outside of the carpus. So you'll have to really focus right in that area and watch your dog's behavior to ensure that they're feeling comfortable. And if you don't know where these areas are, I'm going to put a link in the show notes where you can go and find this information. Of course, you can also just do a search and it will show you acupressure points, and there are a lot of them. Feet, if your dog is comfortable, and this could make your dog more comfortable with feet. So you just have to kind of be patient and see how your dog is going to do with this. I would do this separately, obviously, from nail trims, and set up your environment different than the way you would with nail trims. You can massage individual toes, between the toes. You can apply that gentle pressure in all of those areas, and those are all going to be very beneficial to your dog. With the belly, obviously we know that the belly is a big thing, right? Dogs love their belly rubbed. This is an easy area to do acupressure points. There's points located in the center of the chest running down to the abdomen. And that is really good to help with digestion. You can, you know, help your dog kind of ground using this technique. And your dog will more than likely start being more willing to roll over on their back if we start having more of a positive association with it. Some dogs are very weird about laying on their back, but if we can give them a reason to. So, and I bring that up because Myers never liked to be on his back. It freaks him out. And so it's been years, taken a couple of years, but the massage that I do with him, he now will roll over on his back and let me massage those areas. And he's a lot more comfortable when we're having to physically handle him and do different things. Just one example of many that massage and acupressure has helped with him. So this spot is called the conception vessel point. It's located at the center of your pet's stomach region, halfway between your pet's front and back legs, and right on the midline of the body. But of course, you can rub the entire region because typically dogs love that. You're going to use one or both hands to apply gentle circular or back and forth massage to your pet's belly. Very gentle. And of course, watch your dog. Be sure that you are not staying in one spot for too long. Okay, try to move in those. And I know this is similar to some massage, but it's massaging specific areas that are focused more on acupressure. You can just put pressure on it. You don't have to actually massage or do the movement. Dogs are going to like it more, and more than likely, you're going to enjoy it more if you can do a little bit of rub while you're helping your dog with these acupressure points. There are dozens of pressure points located up and down your pet's spine. You want to be careful when working around your dog's spine. Okay, so you'll want to find the spine, feel down the spine, and just on either side of that where your pressure points are going to be. So these are good to start with, just putting pressure on either side and not necessarily doing any rubbing in this area until you are comfortable. So find the spine, get on either side of it, and just find those indentations. Those are going to be your pressure points. But don't be pressing too hard and don't be massaging over the spine. Dogs are not going to enjoy that so much. I can't stand when somebody massages over my spine. It does not feel good. But just kind of keep an eye on them and see. And there are specific points along the spine that are going to do different things. And I'm not going to go through those. There's way too much. But there are different points on the spine. But there is a lot through there that your dog may tolerate more than others. But you can do a little research and look at those pressure points. And if you have a holistic veterinarian in your area, set up an appointment, right? Even if they can't do acupuncture or you don't want to do acupuncture, they can certainly get you started on using acupressure for your dog. Your dog will appreciate it. It's something that we're doing anyway, right? We're touching and petting anyway. Why not do it in a way that is productive, that can help regulate the nervous system, that helps the dog feel relaxed and safe, and even bonding with you, right? That bond is huge, unless your dog doesn't like to be touched. But again, the dog could be not enjoying the way he's been touched in the past. So again, don't not try because you say, well, my dog doesn't really like being touched. Try some different areas and just see. To summarize, you want to focus more on massage as muscular relaxation. Can certainly help with our regulation of our nervous system. The T-touch is probably going to be the next best for nervous system regulation because there are easier techniques to follow. Your acupressure, yes, nervous system regulation, but also it increases energy flow and balance. You can use all of them. You don't have to just stick with one. Just be sure you go slow, let the dog set the pace. Watch for those stress signals, right? Is the dog yawning, moving away, avoiding eye contact, licking its lips a lot? Is the dog trying to get you to stop without actually standing up and moving away? Obviously, if the dog stands up and moves away, we know they're not comfortable. Start with short sessions. Sometimes I start for 15, 20 seconds and I stop to see if my dog is comfortable or not. And then if he's comfortable, usually we'll massage for a couple of minutes, 5 minutes. I don't go for long periods. Sometimes it's just for as long as I am sitting on the toilet. My dogs love when I'm on the toilet. I could be in there for a quick potty break. Here comes Myers running from across the house to sit in front of me with his back to me just so I can do some acupressure on him. And I will typically work at the top, right at the base of the neck, beginning of the back, and I will acupressure all the way down on either side of the spine, all the way to his to the base of the tail. And he loves it, and it makes him feel better. And of course, Isabella is the same way. She is loving the massage that she gets because she's tight, she's tense, she is a wiggle butt. Her body, the way it wiggles, man, it just kind of throws her into all kinds of tizzy. So any type of massage I can do with her is more about massage, less about acupressure. But these are all beneficial, regardless if your dog has a nervous system that's dysregulated, pain. Could just be that the dog has just played too hard and just needs a good old massage. Because honestly, I mean, I would go get a massage every week if I could. I might would get a massage every day. If I ever become a billionaire, I may just keep a masseuse on staff because that's how much I enjoy touch and massage. And I use massage sometimes for relaxation. Sometimes I use massage because I have tension or pain or discomfort. It just kind of depends. And if I'm getting a relaxing massage, it's gentle with long strokes. If it is a kind of pain management, deep pressure, we're getting into spots, specific spots, and really getting in there. So there are different reasons I get massages. And the same thing you should think about with your dog. What is your purpose today? Therefore, what's the best technique? Okay, now that I know what technique, what's the best location? Set up your environment so the dog knows what's about to happen, and then you can see how your dog does with it. These are really great ways to help with regulation and, again, helping you regulate. Be sure you're regulating before you try to help your dog regulate. And remember, this is not a fix-all. This is just another tool that you guys can have in your back pocket to help your dog have the best life and to feel better and trust that you are there to support them in every way possible. So I hope this has helped. And again, it's hard to really communicate all the little details in an episode of a podcast, but there's a lot of information out there that I will put in the show notes that you can look up and read, and some great videos out there showing you some specific places on your dog's body that you can massage or use acupressure to help relieve some symptoms that your dog may be having. So I guess that is what we got today. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Please rate and review wherever you get our podcast. It really does help us to find new listeners and hopefully in the future some financial support from some that would like to sponsor our show so that we can keep bringing you this information that is not necessarily brought out in everyday material when it comes to dogs. But I want to make sure that you guys are getting information I think is important for you to have a better relationship with your dog and to ensure that your dog is having the best life possible. Please share the show with your friends and family. If you have any ideas or subjects you'd like for me to talk about on the episode or on this podcast, please shoot me an email. I would love to hear from you guys. And if you've not checked out our social media channels, please do so. And if you want to support the podcast for $5 a month, we have our Patreon channel. You can find that in the show notes and check that out. You get a few bonuses as a Patreon member for $5 a month. So I appreciate if you guys want to support the show. I appreciate you, whether you just listen or, or share it with your friends and family or support. I appreciate you guys listening, and I hope that you enjoy the material that I bring to you. Stay tuned for more online content, more opportunities for you guys to get in on a live question and answer. The live question and answer webinar, we're going to do that probably the 1st of March. I'm going to be getting that out, that information out. I'll have that out for next week. So be sure that you don't miss that. We had a really great time last time. So be sure that you check that out and don't miss us. And I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week, and love your neighbor.